Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
We are a center for spiritual living, not a center for spiritual pretending, or a center for doing occasional spiritual treatments. And you know, that's a pretty high call, because we live in a world that says, no, it's matter. It's all about matter. Matter is all that matters. I used to have a student, she said, but matter matters. And I'd say, as an indicator of your consciousness, yes. Oh. Uh-oh. So choosing to live spiritually is a conscious choice to make over and over and over again. Every moment, every breath. When we sing this peace song, everyone else says step, I say every breath I take. This is my joyous vow. And the choice we are making is to say matter is an indicator of consciousness, not what is real in this moment. Let's be real here, it's all spirit. Let's choose the real thing here, the divine presence that is all good working for us now. Now, this last week was a rather strange week for me. There were no less than 4 women who broke their bones and 3 people who passed away, 3 men in 1 week. Yeah, they just left their bodies. They're still with us, very much still with us. But it was a pretty intense week in terms of being present with folks who were going through stuff that was saying, this is what's real, bodies are real. No. The body is the indicator of the consciousness. It's showing me what has been my consciousness up to now. That doesn't mean I made it happen. No new thought blame here. That's not spiritual living. It is the combined beliefs, images, memories, thoughts, feelings, music going through my head that have been going on for the last years and months and weeks are showing up in the body today. Thank you, body, for showing me that. Now, let's look at what's real. Spirit is the only reality. Life, love, unfolding as becoming who we can be as full expressions, excuse me, of the spirit. I must need to go away from the lectern. All right, so now I'll wiggle around other people between the posts. So when we go away from the belief that this is, the paper is, the posts are, the reality, when we get around that, we realize we cannot break the connection. There is no separation. There is nothing other than the presence and the power that we call good showing up in whatever form our consciousness is bringing forth for us today. Oh my goodness. So I have this week and I have these people showing up. What does that tell me about my consciousness? What have I been choosing to focus on? Well, I've allowed some people's concerns about what's going on the nation and the planet to occupy some of my conscious space. Oh dear. because that then leads to the possibility of things being broken or things being separated or people being separated, because that's what that line of thinking does. You know, and as a culture watcher, I absolutely see that a whole bunch of systems are falling apart so that this new thing that we are being can be the norm for all beings throughout this whole wonderful planet. I need to focus on what we are being, becoming the norm, not what was falling apart to make room for it. And I also know that every time something doesn't show up as something that feels really good, it's what I call a wake-up call. I lived through mine, most of us lived through ours, by choosing principle. There's a lot of ways to understand principle. Emily Cato called truth, capital T, truth. Lessons in truth. There is only one presence, that presence is good, and as I focus on that presence, I can deny, I can negate, I can dissolve anything that isn't real, and experience only the powerful, loving presence. In the work of Emma Curtis Hopkins, who was one of Katie's teachers, the good is all that is, capital G good. And it's interesting, when the Dalai Lama was handed a copy of the Unity publication, this is like the CSL Science of Mind publication, Unity puts out the Daily Word, he was handed a copy and he read through it and he says, yeah, this is fine with me as long as you turn all those G-O-D words into G-O-O-D. Isn't that nice? So those are two ways that we can choose principle. We can choose the reality of spirit and good over the appearance of the material. But sometimes it's hard to get there. And I've been practicing this a long time. My kids were in middle school when I started doing this work, because I had to do this work because the body had had one of those wake-up calls, right? And that was when I learned this song while I was doing this work, not knowing it was called New Thought or Unity or CSL or any of that other stuff. Didn't know it had names. And so they kind of got a little bit of experience watching someone practice these principles, even though school was telling them something else entirely. And so they had to kind of veer off, as children do, right? They have to veer off and find their own paths and then come around to whatever they can accept of who and what the parent has been. Well, for my older daughter, it took the holistic health class in medical school for her to wake up. Oh, that's what mom's been saying my whole life. That was nice. For my younger daughter, it was people kept asking her how to get through things. And so she went off and she got certified in neuropsychology. Yeah. And she developed what she called the three B's. And I actually talked with her about it this week because I was a little reactive to the kind of stuff that was coming at me. And she was great. She said, I got 20 minutes, shall I walk you through it? I was talking to her about something else entirely, but she picked up on what was going on. And so she did. And the first of the B's applies no matter what it is. If we are triggered in any way, breathe. Just breathe. Breathe as deeply as you can. And I remembered that while I was in graduate school, one of my fellow students worked in a very high-pressure environment, and she had stickies all over her little cell, you know, the cubicle thing. Breathe, 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 breathe. Yeah. That's number one. And then she says, the second B is what she calls butterfly hugs. Butterfly hugs. Know you're nurtured. Know you're cared for. The infinite is there. It is surrounding and enfolding you. Love enfolds us. The presence of the divine is always loving us.
Hmm.
Yeah. Boy, that helps. And then she does the other one. She calls it bouncing. And puppy shakes. And part of that is because every mammal out there, once the fear is over, shakes it off. Is that cool or what? You're telling the body not to be in fear because you have chosen the reality that it's all good and we are safe and loved here and now. Breathe. Butterfly hugs. Bounce. Or shake. If you ever find yourself getting a little stage fright, excellent technique. So, I love my girls. And they continue to teach me. And that is something we all want to be aware of. Not only our kids, as they grow up, even as they're infant. I mean, wow, from infancy they were teaching me, yeah? Right? Oh, boy. In fact, I learned unconditional love from my three-year-olds, right? Ah, yes. Anyway, as we begin to allow the world to show us what we are ready to be next. Now, the way Abraham, Esther Hicks, talks about this is the world may be showing us contrasts to show us that we are ready to move on from what was to what is becoming. Oh. Oh. The universe is all good. The reality is a space in which I get to be more fully who I am. And who I am is the perfect expression of spirit. Divine, God, love, whatever you want to call it. That's who and what we are. And what we are becoming. As each of these things comes along and says, you can let go of that. You can let go of that. And you can be more purely, clearly, fully experiencing, embodying, and radiating all those marvelous divine qualities. Now, in Unity, they have this whole list of divine qualities. Charles Fillmore called it the 12 powers. He got that from Emma Curtis Hopkins, who labeled each of the disciples and apostles, the 12, as having representing specific powers. And then Fillmore connected it to the chakras, and the six go up, and the six come down. These are the physical, and these are the spiritual. Ooh. So when I'm being my spirit living self, I'm operating from those higher level, higher frequency energy centers, not from the lower frequency, the dense, the material, hormonal, or whatever frequencies. Does that make sense? Yeah. Hormones are matter. Sorry. Chemicals are matter. I'm living spiritually. And that's how I was able to overcome the wake-up call that had a 6-month prognosis, yeah? Was to realize and discover and become fully guided by and focused on the principles that are the fundamentals of spiritual living. It's all spirit. It's not matter. I am spirit manifesting, expressing as this body you see in front of you. And every one of you is seeing a very different body. I want you to know that. So I don't have to worry about what the mirror shows me. Right? You're going to see what you're going to see. You're projecting and perceiving through your own mental framework. It's fine. My goal is for all of us to have as few filters as possible so that what we are seeing is the spirit more than the body. That's the next level of what we call spiritual living. We live as spirit, among spirit, overlapping fields in our communications. Because my spirit self is more like a field of informed energy, right? Than like a physical body with limits. And that field, what we know about informed energy is everywhere. It's not in one spot in any given time. And so the overlapping is in resonance, not in space, it's in resonance. So the frequencies that we have been developing here, thank you all musicians, you've done a wonderful job, so that we're all in resonance allows the field that I am to overlap more fully with the fields that you are, and we resonate together, and that's our resonance that is being experienced in the larger community. So living spiritually is honoring the fact that this is not all that I am. My consciousness, the field of my being, is resonating with fields of being all over, everywhere, throughout all that is. And every time I make the slightest shift in uplifting and clarifying, in choosing that which I know to be true, all that is feels that shift. And as Rupert Sheldrake pointed out with his morphic theory of morphic resonance, every time anyone does anything new, it's easier for everyone else to do that. All right? Wow. So every time we get into that space of knowing, being in that space where spirit is what is, that makes it easier for everyone on the planet to do the same. Even if we only do it for a few seconds, even if we only do it once a week or once a year, but if we do it many times a day, I can just see it happening. I can feel this marvelous collection of beingness that we call humanity becoming more fully the expressions of spirit that we are and experiencing each other that way. Yeah. You know, there's this whole thing around acknowledging the differences or the issues or the whatevers that we have in our appearances and bodies. And I once had an instructor who looked at me and he said, I don't know whether you're male or female. I don't know whether any of my students is male or female. Those distinctions are irrelevant. Ooh. As are all the other distinctions our culture likes to make. What if all we see is the spirit showing up in this unique pattern of being, inviting us to step into a higher pattern, a higher frequency of that pattern. Really, that's all every encounter we have is. In the Course in Miracles, it's saying every encounter is an expression of love. That's really what it's saying. It's spirit saying, hi, spirit, let's play. And play means love. And love means overlapping our energy fields so that there is direct communion and a deep understanding. The words that I'm saying are just the vehicle by which the field that I am being is overlapping with your field. Does that make sense? Yes. So as we live that way, then everyone becomes not only an expression of all that we've ever imagined could be possible, but also a way to see, oh, I'm ready to become that. I'm ready to become that. I was talking with someone about Krishna earlier this week. He got involved with Hare Krishna when he was a teenager. You know the guys that chant and hand out their flyers, right? And he fell in love with Krishna. But then someone introduced him to Amma, the hugging saint. He is Amma's servant. He said, I went to see what she was like, and 2 weeks later I stopped doing seva. I had been there full-time for 2 weeks in seva, in the Hindu special service, sacred service. And he said, I'm hooked for life. The love that she embodies, her vibratory frequency, the field that she is cleared of all the filters that would prevent her from being and allowing that love exchange to happen, right? Her spiritual practice was get rid of the filters. So love could be a pure expression in her, as her, and through her. For all. I like this. When we were talking about Krishna, he said what he loved, there were so many things that he loved about Krishna, and if you've, any of you read the Bhagavad Gita, all right. It took me a long time to get into it because it's a war story and I don't like war stories. Poor Sean. But there's these marvelous conversations. It's really about the conversations between the charioteer and the prince who didn't want to go into this battle, right? Yeah. The prince was a priest caste, and he fell into the position of inheriting the kingdom, right? Yeah. And now all of his relatives are saying, you're a priest, you can't manage this kingdom. And so they're there to tell him, we're taking over. So, but he owns, you know, he's responsible for the well-being of these people. And so he feels required to hold it for them and not let these other people come in. So he spends the night in prayer because he's a priest. If he were a warrior, he would have been doing other things. But he's a priest. And when he goes out to his chariot, he is centered. Not happy, but centered. And he gets in the chariot, and the charioteer turns around, and it's the blue face of Krishna. Krishna has blue skin. And, you know, he goes into shock, of course. And as all divine presence says, fear not. Love is the only presence here. That's what Altira means. That thing that's said over and over again in the Bible, fear not. Love is the only presence here. Ooh. So Arjuna breathes, and he practices his yoga, in the not hatha yoga, but his inner yoga. And, okay. And then through the course of several hours, while they're preparing to run out to this battle, Krishna starts telling Arjuna about the nature of this presence. And over again, Arjuna says, show me what you really look like. And Krishna says, there's no way, you couldn't handle it. But over time, Krishna builds up his consciousness through their dialogue. He explains how when we focus on the divine, when we focus on that creator source presence, everything falls into place. Focus on me and all is cared for. Oh, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Big difference. Or Yishmael, right? So he's telling Arjuna, the little prince, focus on me and all is well. Focus on me and all is well. And finally, Arjuna's consciousness is high enough that he can get the slightest glimmer. And Krishna allows him this glimmer of Krishna's reality. And somebody who had a lot of chutzpah took the willingness to try to paint this. And I have the painting as one of the pictures on my computer. So we see the figure of the charioteer. And behind him are 1,000 variations on the charioteer. And over behind them are 1,000 variations on other presences, and then a couple hundred variations on other presences, and then there are more above and more below, because the one is everyone, and everyone is the one. And in that image of him were images of the uncles and brothers and cousins that were about to try to attack this kingdom. And that took the thing to a whole new level. But what a great image to hold, yes? That in one beingness is every beingness. And all we're doing is waking each other up. Ram Dass says we're walking each other home, right? So in the form, we wake each other up. In the choice, we know the truth, and we be it, and we accept it as our reality. That feels like a lead into a treatment, am I right? So let's take a breath. And go into that marvelous, relaxed state with the body and the mind now, all is well. Truly, we are totally supported physically and in every way by this beautiful planet, with all of the gifts, all of the material that we could ever need or want, supplied by our beautiful Mother Earth. And we feel that, and we feel that connection, and we feel the deep gratitude for this beautiful earth that we, in our physicality, are very much a part of, interwoven into. And now we take another breath, deeper, to the place that knows we are not this body, that feels the field of being, the mind, the soul, the spirit that we are, that is far more energy than matter, and is marvelously wise and informed, because it is the wisdom that is the creative source of all that is. We breathe into it, knowing we are never separated. We cannot be, for this is totally interpenetrating every cell of our bodies and is our being. This one beingness, this infinite wisdom, this deep knowing of truth and reality, it is who we are. And as we allow ourselves to experience this, we realize that any old little things that were apparent before are dissolving in the power and presence of this good, this truth, this knowing. All that is this good. This knowing. And it is totally embracing, embodying, expressing as each of us and all of us together. And all beings everywhere are the same infinite wisdom and knowing. And we honor that as our awareness moves around space and time, and situations and people enter into our awareness. We know with them and for them this truth of infinite wisdom and love, full support for the physical, an ongoing supply, and always the emotional and spiritual power to bring forth that which we are. And as we realize that they too understand this, everyone, every situation, every being throughout all that is, understands, recognizes, accepts, and allows this truth of being right now, we feel a deep gratitude and appreciation. Oh my goodness. For the world that is becoming our experience. Because this is our consciousness. And we are spirit living this life now. For so it is.
So it is.
Amen. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.